This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very, very happy to be with you today. We do love spending this time with you, as you well know, Monday through Friday, right here on the station that you are listening to or the platform that you are using. And we certainly do invite you to interact with us. You heard the numbers by which you can contact us. I'm going to give it to you again. It's toll free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there. It's there for you to use. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there, and we will be certain to get it up on the board and be able to address whatever is on your mind today. We have Matt Gubensky on the phones. Be sure to give him a big old howdy hey when you call in. And we invite you to give Jeff a little salute, too. I never say give Jeff a salute. If you're out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, is the one who retrieves your questions and comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement there. Give him a little salute. Say, hey, Jeff, how are you today? That'd be nice. It'd put a smile on his face. I'm not sure if he's rolling his eyes right now or if he's smiling, but I'm going to choose to imagine him smiling right now. You put a big old smile on my face, I can tell you that, when you contact us right here. And I do invite you to do exactly that. I also want to remind you of all kinds of big things going on. Oh my goodness, isn't this a big day? It's election day. So I know a lot of people that are involved in this election in a very, very real way. And we certainly are praying for the outcome to be in accordance with God's will. That's what we pray for. We pray for the gift of discernment on the part of all of those who are going to the polls today. We pray that they would be open to the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit and that they would give in to that prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's very, very important for us to vote with the mind and the heart of the church. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week here. But, you know, I got to tell you, well, it couldn't have been much earlier in the week. It's only Tuesday, so it must have been last week. But all of that being said, the fact of the matter is it's very, very important for us to vote carefully, right? And I know that there are all kinds of factors that play into the way in which we cast our ballot. Some of them have to do with longstanding traditions in our families of origin. Some of them have to do with, a certain attachment to a given plank on a platform. But God calls us to be broader than that. He calls us to look at all of the issues and to perceive in them the mind and the heart that is His, right? We want the blessings of God. We want the blessings of God in our nation and in our lives. And when we stand in opposition to the blessings of God, we're not free to receive them. It isn't that He's not blessing us. He is. The blessings are forever descending from His heavenly throne to us here on earth that we might live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and share it with others. But there is that cooperation of our free will. It's that dying to self and giving over to the things of God. And the thing of it is, when we do that, we have a receptivity of heart that can receive His blessings. So God is always giving us His blessings, but if we're staying in opposition to His blessings as an individual by living and continually moving forward in sin, as opposed to seeking to be rid of sin and to accept more of the God life into us, or if we're doing that as a nation, we're going to compromise our ability to be able to receive that which God wants to give us. And what is it that He wants to give us? He tells us this. He tells us this through his apostle St. Paul in writing to the Ephesians. He wants to give us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He wants us to come to know the immeasurable scope of his power in us who believe. I think that's Ephesians 1 verse 17. That's an amazing thing to comprehend because you see the immeasurable scope of his power in us who believe. We become omnipotent with God to the extent that we are freed from the compromises that we make with the devil, the world, and the flesh. We become omnipotent with him. The more that the God life resides in us, the more we have the capacity to operate underneath and through the very power of God, which takes up residence within us. You know, God wants to give us his attributes. He does. There's three that I remember from what the Holy Sisters taught me in elementary school. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. That would be wisdom, right? It would be knowing everything according to the mind and heart of God. Omniscient. There is that omnipotence, his all-powerfulness, which I just explained that we share in when we're filled up with his divine and holy life. And then there's this omnipresence. Now, we do not all have the gift of bilocation. I mean, I don't. Maybe you do. I do know people that do have that gift, by the way. But by the same token, we do have the capacity through grace, through our uniting ourselves with the Trinitarian God, to be efficacious in all places, through our prayer, through our contemplation, through the willingness of our spirit to be conformed according to his image and likeness. There is a corporate effect of that in the world. There's a corporate effect. So in that way, we share in the omnipresence of God. We share in that flood of grace that comes from the heavenly throne. And it's a dynamic. You know, the gift of our imagination is such a beautiful thing. So sometimes, you know, you can actually picture it. You can picture it happening. You can see it. You can see it going out through the eyes of the Spirit, which is part of that participation, you know, in the omniscience of God. It's part of that gift of wisdom. So anyway, all of that to say that we want to make certain that we are living our lives in every way, more and more in union with God, and getting rid of those things that are out of union with God. And this is meant to affect all aspects of our life, you know, all aspects of our life, our corporate aspect as a people, as a nation, as a citizenry, but also, you know, our individual lives and the way in which we impact each other through our relationships and through our comings and our goings, you know. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on all that today, but I'm really just encouraging you today to fulfill your duty to God and to country by making certain that you vote. And I'm asking you, please, to deliberate, if you haven't voted already, and I hope that you did this when you did vote, to deliberate carefully. What is the heart and what is the mind of God? I mean, he's so clear. You know, sometimes we twist ourselves up into not saying, "Oh, Father God, what is your will?" I mean, I do that from time to time. I got to pull myself back. You know, God makes his will very clearly known to us. His specified will, his specific will is given to us in the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the revelation of all of Scripture, and the teaching of Holy Mother Church. So you don't have to sit out there and say, "Gee, I wonder what God thinks about this," or "I wonder what God thinks about this." We know what he thinks about these things in the general sense. We know it. And that can apply to very specific issues, can apply to very specific situations and circumstances. So that is the guiding. That's the guiding. That's that's the backbone of our consideration of what is the will of God. And then there's the other part of that will of God that is his will of good pleasure. The way in which he makes his will known to us through the circumstances and situations of life. Sometimes we call it his permissive will, right? And these are the crosses that we have, the joys that we experience. It's all of that. And you know, and then I just have to say, there's a third way in which we know the will of God. And that's through the gift of discernment that comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit, where we just know, we might not have a rational explanation for something, but we just know, we sense in ourselves, this is not the proper thing to do. And we have to pay heed to that, because that's a gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism, and that is strengthened in us through confirmation. And I've talked through this whole first 9 minutes, not even giving you an update on upcoming things. We'll do that on the way back. 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy you are with us today. We certainly are. I'm eager to hear from you. Our phone lines are all open for you. They're wide open for you. Surely you have something you want to share with us today. We are eager to hear it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Also want to remind you that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We have Jeff Burson, who happens to be our social media manager and our producer. He'll go out there and retrieve your question from the chat feature at either one of those two sites and get them up on the board for us. We have Matt Kubensky on the phones today, and he is always happy to hear from you too. Be sure to say hello to him. Be sure to give Jeff a salute in your text message there or your chat message to us. And we look forward to hearing from you on that toll-free number right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to remind you that we want for you to get out to our Women of Grace homepage. It's womenofgrace.com. That's the way that you can see everything that is going on with Women of Grace. And we've got a bunch of stuff going on. I'm telling you, we are going to be very busy people. That's all I can say. Very, very busy people. And we want for you to notice, however, that this weekend, Jack and I are going to be at Malvern Retreat House. Yes, we are. We are going to be presenting a marriage retreat there. Very, very eager to be with all of the good people that have signed up already. And just want to let you know, you can sign up now. You can. We have some spaces still available. So we want for you to make use of the opportunity. Maybe that space is still available because it has your name on it. Maybe God's written it down, you know, on his seating chart for Malvern. And it has your name and your spouse's name in those spaces. And we want for you to come. It isn't too late. It's going to be a lovely retreat. Jack was with me on the air yesterday for our monthly Marriage Monday, and we were talking about it, and both of us, you know, were saying that there's much that we've got planned for this. He gave you some little insight into some of his, I don't know, what did we call them, discussion topics between husbands and wives. They're not questions really, but they were really funny, made me laugh a lot. Jack is like that. He makes me laugh a lot. So this particular marriage retreat's theme is God made them male and female. We want you to come. We've got the information up for you at the Women of Grace site, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it listed for you under events. You click on that, it takes you to a landing page, and you can actually click to register there. It was so interesting in prayer today, because I was praying my rosary, and all of these, you know, thoughts started to flood into my mind. I just love when the Holy Spirit does that. He is never late. He's always on time. He doesn't often give you a lot of advance notice, but he was just filling my mind and my heart with ways to develop the particular portion that I will be doing tomorrow. And it was so clear, and I'm so excited about it. I can't wait. So, you know, I've been on the phone doing stuff this morning, getting it all ready. So we have surprises for you when you come. Anyway, all of that being said, I'm hoping that you're going to join us for this beautiful marriage retreat at Malvern Retreat House this weekend. It starts Friday at 5:00 p.m. and it ends Sunday morning. We want for you to join us for this beautiful, beautiful event. As I say, the info is available for you there. We would just love to see you. We'd just love to have you there. That's going on. What else is going on in Women of Grace land? Let me just see. We have our Morning of Grace online event is happening right now. I was so excited about that because I got a message from one of our regional coordinators who was also a staff member saying that our regional coordinator from Ukraine was present on the Morning of Grace today, the online event. She and her family have sought asylum in Italy, but she was joining us for this Morning of Grace online event, and that just made me so excited inside because that tells me that everything is fine there with them. And I know that Morning of Grace, or I know that the Women of Grace study is still going on in Ukraine because she shared that with us the last time. These women really, under severe circumstances, nonetheless are making certain that they come together for this Women of Grace study. And I think it speaks to the power of this study. I think it speaks to what's going on through it by way of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and the minds of the women who attend. So if you have not attended a Women of Grace foundational study, I want to encourage you to do that. You can go out to our website and get the information. You can also call us. We'll tell you if there is a Women of Grace group in your area. We'll put you in touch with them. If there isn't, we will encourage you to join us by becoming a facilitator. So many of our facilitators became facilitators and took the study for the first time as the facilitator of a given group. That's not unusual. It's a beautiful opportunity, and we want to share with you about it. We're very excited what God's doing through this. It's just incredible, just absolutely incredible. So we wanted to make you aware of that. I want to make you aware of the fact that we have a marvelous online event that's coming up, and this is an online event in preparation for Advent, and we have Susan Tassone, who's going to be with us. Susan is the Purgatory Lady, I like to call her. She is a woman who works on behalf of the Holy Souls, and she's tireless in her efforts for the Holy Souls. So the theme for this a beautiful Advent retreat is quite unusual, and I think it's going to be thrilling. The Holy Souls and the Coming of the Christ Child. And so we are going to see how we can pray for our deceased loved ones, learn how praying for the dead does heal the living. Imagine that, praying for the dead brings healing to the living. Understand the power of Gregorian Masses. Discover your intercessory power. Why is Christmas important for the Holy Souls? Why are we doing this during the Christmas season? Well, the Advent season leading to Christmas season, because Christmas is a very important time for the Holy Souls. And there's much, much more to be shared about this beautiful event that happens Friday, November the 18th at 6:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can sign up and join us again right there at our website, womenofgrace.com. It's listed for you there. We're really looking forward to having a lot of people coming. We just got the info up this week, and we've had a lot of people that have signed up already. We're just very, very eager for you to be one of them. I'm going to be speaking at the Fullness of Truth Spiritual Warfare Conference in Alexandria, Louisiana in February. April 1, we're asking you to save the date. We've got a Spanish event coming up. And then on December the 8th of 2023, not 2022, not this December, but a year from this December, we're going to be taking a pilgrimage to Mexico City to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe to celebrate Women of Grace's 20th anniversary. So I've run through the whole thing for you, and you can tell that we're very busy. I would like to get busy with you today, though, so please do give us a call, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Easy breezy. Not hard to do. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature at either one of those two locations. Get your question up on the board and we can address it. Looking forward to hearing from you today. Maybe you're all at the voting booth. That would be very exciting. Really, it would be. So I wanted to read you a little bit out of a great book that I have here. It's called Christian Holiness. It was written by Gustav Thils, T-H-I-L-S. It's an old book, and I seem to have these old books all over the house here. This old book was written, let me see what the copyright date is on this. Okay, so it was first, the English translation was first published, well, this was first published in Belgium in November of 1961. The imprimatur was given to it in August of 1961. So, you know, this is a treatise, if you will. It's a huge book on Christian holiness. And there was a section in here that I opened up to today that I thought I would share with you because I think it's something that we all need. It's absolutely something that we all need. And here's what it says. The whole of the moral, and this is Gustav Thiels. He's a priest. I believe that he's a priest. I have to check that out for you here to make sure, but I do think that he is. And it's on ascetical, it's on ascetical theology, but it's not so deep that the lay person like myself cannot understand it. So here's what it says. The whole of the moral life, and particularly the effort to attain holiness, is not something easy. And we were talking about that, right, just a little while ago. The ascent of Mount Carmel is rude, hard, and sometimes austere. To make the ascent, many dispositions are required. And here he starts to name these dispositions. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. As I'm reading these to you, tick them off and see if you have any of these. Virility, boldness, strength, aggressiveness, perseverance, constancy, and endurance. I'll go through them again. And, you know, just do a little check on yourself. Virility, boldness, strength, aggressiveness, perseverance, constancy, and endurance. Do you find yourself in any one of those dispositions of heart? If not, then we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to enliven that within us. And then we've got to cooperate with the grace to be virile, strong, to be bold, to be unafraid, to illustrate strength, aggressiveness, perseverance, constancy, and endurance. He says, these are the virtues which we group under the general title of tenacity and perseverance. He says, Christian spirituality is not rose water. I don't know if we even know what rose water is anymore. Rose water is water that has been, you know, infilled with the scent of roses, a type of perfume, a weak perfume. But he says, that's why he says, Christian spirituality is not rose water. The true Christian cannot have a fearful, whining, timorous spirit when it comes to the bitter things of this life. So he's telling us we can't be fearful. We can't whine. And another word for whining, you know, is kind of like complaining, right? We can't be timorous, being timid. We have to be the opposite of timid, which is fearless. He says we can't have those kinds of things going on when it comes to the bitter things of life. He says Christian fortitude is the force which incites us to advance in the work of Christian sanctification and holiness. No matter what difficulties we encounter in our struggle to attain this ideal, we must hold on unto the end. We must hold on unto the end. We must hold on unto the end. See, we can't fall under the weight of the cross and remain there. We might fall, but we've got to get back up and move forward. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. He wouldn't have said that if we weren't going to have a cross. We're going to have a cross. We have many crosses. We have many crosses individually. We have many crosses corporately. That's the way of the Christian life. The Christian life is not, as he says, rose water. It's not all perfume. It's not all joy. Every joy has a cross, and every cross has a joy. It's a little adage of mine that I think applies to most things. Because suffering is the way that redemptive grace flows. It was through the suffering of Christ that redemptive grace flowed into the life of man, bringing salvation. And we're going to enjoy being, in some way, pinned to a cross for the sake of the gospel. And I say, it is a joy. Though Jesus was crucified, tortured, reviled, mocked, ridiculed as he hung upon that cross, in spite of the pain and the suffering, there was a spirit of joy that was present there because he was fulfilling the will of the Father. And he knew that in fulfilling that will of the Father, salvation would come into the world. Well, you, by your baptism, are another Christ. You too will be pinned to the cross with Jesus in some way through your own suffering. But there is joy in that, because in union with him, redemptive grace flows through your surrender. It flows through that suffering into the world today. It's the way that it works. For I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church, says St. Paul to the Colossians. St. Paul is not one who was not like you and me. He is like you and me. And we can look at Paul and say, aha, for Paul, so for me. For Paul, so for me. So what this beautiful author is saying is, look, we're going to encounter struggles and we have to hold on to the end. He says it implies many an attendant nuance and aspect which make it an eminently sympathetic virtue, One who really takes the bull by the horns and wants to make progress needs guts to continue on the journey and even a little aggressiveness against the obstacles which he will meet along the way. He has to dare to undertake things. This boldness is perfectly Christian and absolutely necessary. He must stick with the work he has undertaken with patience and constancy. Lasting for a day is not difficult, but month after month, year after year, through a whole long life? The element of length is one of the most difficult and most painful dimensions of the work of sanctification. Isn't martyrdom easier, they ask, than the long pilgrimage of the ascent of Carmel? Fortitude implies the strength to hold fast, to wait without weariness, to endure obstacles of all sorts, to accept insults and rebuffs, eventually to suffer abuse or calumny, and to endure threats and misunderstanding. So you see, that's the stuff out of which our redemption was won. That is a description of the very tenor of Jesus' own spirit. And it's meant to be the tenor of our spirit too. No man is greater than his master, right? What our Lord experienced, we will experience. Oh, not in exactly the same way, but in some way. And as Jesus hung on the cross, offering up his suffering to the Father on behalf of you and on behalf of me, so too, when our travails greet us, we must hang on that cross with him, offering for the sake of his body, the church, of which we are a member, and of which our loved ones are a member as well. So just some words to think about, you know. Anyway, phone lines are open for you. Oh, goody gumdrops. We've got some calls coming in. We want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just thinking, maybe you have encountered a very difficult moment in your life and you persevered and you saw the fruit of it. Love to know about that. It'll encourage us to do the same. We're going to be right back. Again, it's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to have you with us today, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Phone lines are open. We are here for any question or comment that you might have, any inspiration or word of wisdom, any insight or word of encouragement that you want to give us today. So please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here. Let's get on out there and see what's going on. I did throw a little a teaser out there for you. And the teaser was, you know, have you gone through a great big struggle in your life, one that required you to live one of those virtues that we talked about, virility, strength, boldness, endurance, all of those that come listed under tenacity and perseverance, and the outcome bore fruit. You know, has that happened to you? We would love to know about it because your story will encourage us to do the same in the circumstances that we might face where those virtues are absolutely essential. We have Paul with us. He's in Kissimmee, Florida. Good morning to you, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Janice.
How are you? I'm glad you're with us via the EWTN app.
Oh, I'm better than I deserve.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So what's going on with Paul in Kissimmee?
Well, I was watching the World Over recently, and I saw the former Bishop of Hong Kong on there, Cardinal Zen, and he said something that felt a bit discouraged by it.
Okay.
He had said that Pope Francis had allowed the Chinese government to appoint their own bishops, and I just kind of was shocked because from what I understand, it's Jesus Christ, the invisible head, through the Pope and the bishops who elects the present-day apostles who are successors to the original 12 apostles, and I just can't see the invisible head Jesus inspiring the Pope to appoint bishops through a communist, atheist government. I just don't see, like, the early Christians and Catholics allowing the Roman government to appoint their own bishops. I don't know if you could explain that to me.
Well, I can try to explain it to you. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit who inspires these things, right, in the church, and the appointment of bishops belongs to the Holy Father. We know that typically what happens is there's a list of potential bishops in a given country who, you know, have been acclaimed or recognized as being worthy of being made a bishop. Oftentimes, the pronuncio of that particular country will weigh in on that and make a recommendation to the Holy Father. Often, the Holy Father will heed that recommendation. You know, I don't know exactly what the process is on the Holy Father's end of things, but I'm certain that it's something that's taken to prayer. You're referring to something that has been a very, very hotly debated and contested, I would even say controversial, decision by Pope Francis. And there's actually an article out there on Reuters was published on October 22nd of this year. And it was it's talking about the fact that the Holy Father has renewed this arrangement with China. Now, the arrangement has a 2-year period of time. The first time that this was sent forth was in 2018. So it says in this article that the Vatican said that it and China had renewed a secret and contested agreement on the appointment of Roman Catholic bishops in a communist country. It goes on and talks about that this is a provisional accord. It was extended for another 2 years since it was first reached in 2018. This was a widely expected decision on the Holy Father. They offer you an opportunity to want to see an interview, an exclusive interview about it. But what was the purpose of it? Well, this article states that the deal was a bid to ease a longstanding divide across mainland China between an underground flock loyal to the Pope and a state-backed official church. For the first time since the 50s, both sides recognized the Pope as supreme leader of the Catholic Church. So, there was always this tension. There was this tension within China, where those who were loyal to the Pope were really driven underground, and you know, really at the penalty of death for priests that would celebrate this mass, and for bishops. And we know that imprisonment was not uncommon, and we have a list of bishops that were imprisoned by the communist government there for practicing the faith. And you know, so these were clandestine masses that were being celebrated by people who were loyal to the Pope, by bishops and priests who had been selected by the Holy Father. What communist China did is it set up a parallel church, right? It set up a state-backed church that they manipulated and controlled. And so they would appoint the bishops. They would, you know, all of that was going on. But that church, instead of being loyal to the Holy Father, that state-backed church was really more loyal to the state and had to be to exist. So what Pope Francis was trying to do was to see if there wasn't a bridge that could be built to bring these two realities together, the church loyal to the Pope and the state-backed church. And so there was a deal that was made, you know, and it was a deal that the state-backed church says it would recognize the Holy Father as the one who was the head. But they could appoint the bishops. So according to this article, there have been 6 bishops that were appointed since the deal was struck, which its opponents say proves it is not producing the desired effects. They also point to increasing restrictions on religious freedoms in China for Christians and other minorities. So it's just a very contentious kind of thing. Francis's hope, I think, was that this would in some way ameliorate the situation and would bring healing. But it's controversial as to whether or not that's happened. And we know we know that Cardinal Joseph Zen, 90 years old, who was the former Archbishop of Hong Kong, as you mentioned, have denounced it as a sellout to communist authorities. And so Zen is currently, as of the writing of this article on October 22nd, on trial over the use of a charity fund for pro-democracy protesters, and critics have accused the Vatican of not doing enough to defend him in public. So, I mean, this is a hotly contested issue. It's never easy. We know that there is one true Catholic Church, and that is the Church that is under the Holy Father. That's the Church, you know. That is the Church. We know that any other kind of church that uses the name Catholic in it, but is not loyal to the Holy Father, we know that that church is a schismatic church. It's not a church that's in union with the Holy Catholic Church. We've talked on the air here about the fact that there are rites, R-I-T-E-S, of the Catholic Church, the true Catholic Church. And we know that there are Orthodox churches that very much resemble and include in their services and in their sacramental structure the same as the church, but they broke away from the church Constantine's time. So, you know, we have to be very, very discerning. So, you know, it is a very, as I said, it's a hotly contested issue, and that's all I can tell you about it. I don't know if that helps you or not.
Well, is it true that I heard on the World Over with Raymond Arroyo that in the Chinese Bible, the government has altered parts of the gospel, and they said what really troubled me was that the woman caught in adultery at the end, instead of Jesus saying, go and sin no more, in the communist China version of the Bible, they stone her to death.
Well, we are not to mess with the Bible. Sacred Scripture tells us that, but we have the alteration of the Bible going on since the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. You know, Luther took out the deuterocanonical texts of the Bible. So there's been an alteration of the Bible. We hold to the whole of it. And I think, Paul, for all of these things, you know, I think that what we talked about earlier in the program today, it does take, you know, a virility. It does take a strength. It does take a boldness. It does take, you know, perseverance. It does take endurance. It does take all of these things, because we are always going to come up against powers and principalities that are trying to destroy the church that Jesus Christ founded. We, for our part, are called to be loyal to her and to preach the truth in whatever way we possibly can, you know, through our example, through our witness, through our words, through the way in which we conduct ourselves in our everyday circumstances and situations, the integrity with which we cast a ballot, all of these things. And to that we you know, if we saw it with the eyes of God, to that we increase the flow of grace in the world. And we need more and more grace. We need more and more faithful Catholics. We need Catholics who are truly living their faith. And it sounds like you are, and I'm grateful for that.
Well, thank you, Janet. I just think we need a St. Paul to stand up, like when St. Peter, the first pope, was wrong, and he wouldn't sit with the Gentiles when a certain group of Jews came, the Judaizers, and St. Paul fraternally corrected him in front of everybody because it needed to be done. And I think that needs to go on now. Like, our bishops need to fraternally correct the Pope. I mean, no one's above reproach. And we do know from Scripture that the Pope can make a mistake, from that example I just mentioned.
Oh, well, you know, people often confuse the infallibility of the Pope and what that truly means. And they have this distorted notion that infallibility extends to all statements made by the Holy Father. And that simply isn't true. The only time infallibility applies is when the Pope speaks ex cathedra from the chair of Peter, right, on faith and morals. But any Holy Father, and we can go back in time, any Holy Father can make a decision and can make a statement that is basically his personal opinion or is coming from his own human condition. And that isn't binding on the church. And I think today, because of the capacity for us to have instant communication. We hear a lot of things, and people are want to say, well, you know, the Holy Father is infallible, and so he said this. That isn't the case. There's only one, you know, what do I want to say? I'm thinking of the word here. You know, there's one way in which the Holy Father speaks infallibly, and that's from the chair of Peter, and that is, you know, always on faith and morals. So that being said, I don't disagree with you. We have to be able to speak truth. None of us is beyond fraternal correction. But in order for us to receive that fraternal correction and to hear it and to take it in humility and begin to make changes as a result of it, well, that takes free will. And I think that that's where we've got to pray for the free will of you know, everyone who is a member of the mystical body of Christ, from the highest position to, you know, what we would call the most ordinary of positions. We've got to be praying for this docility of heart. That's what we need, is docility of heart. So thank you, Paul. You know, your name is Paul. So I'm sure that God is calling you to speak truth to the darkness in whatever way you can, and as you see the darkness presenting itself to you in your everyday walk of life. Let's get to Megan. Megan is in Belton, Texas, and Megan is a first-time caller, and I'm ringing my happy first-time caller bell for Megan today. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
I am very, very well, thank you. And I see that you're listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I am happy you're with us, Megan, and you want to tell us a little story.
Yes, so yes, I do. It's about really endurance, trusting in the Lord. So at the end of 2019, I had a major health crisis. And no doctor could really tell me what it was. It was right before COVID-19 hit the U.S. It was before any PCR tests were available, anything. So who knows? I could have had COVID, and it had been a long COVID case. I don't know. Either way, I had a lot of neurological issues that landed me in bed for 8 months.
Oh, my heavens, Megan.
It was awful. A lot of things happened with my body that nobody could explain to me why it was happening. Just, I kept having to do hospitalizations for potassium treatment because just something was going on. Nobody could tell me what it was. In a way, though, I felt like it was kind of like a Job season for me, because I grew up Protestant, did not grow up Catholic. I had fallen away from all of that and fell into New Age stuff.
Okay.
And in that time, I was starting to kind of see some of the deception, and it really felt like more of a spiritual warfare was going on with health stuff too, like the whole battle of dark and light. And I felt like I was at a point where God was like, you got to choose. You know, this is going to be life without me, or you can choose me. And in that time when I was in bed for those few months, that's when the Chosen series came out. And that first episode, you know, where Jesus finds Mary and how they embrace towards the end of the show. I mean, that hit me hard. It hit me really hard, like a ton of bricks. And I ugly cried, spoke volumes to me. But in that moment, I just said, you know, Jesus, help me. And, along came, you know, some other things with my body. Had to go through physical therapy. In that process, I met my now best friend / she's my daughter's godmother now. Anyway, she was Catholic. She invited me to Mass. We went to Mass, and the rest is kind of history. I went through RCIA. Didn't get answers about my health stuff until spring of 2022. Which was a whole list of stuff. But yes, I did pray for answers and to help heal my health. But had those answers come right away, it wouldn't have allowed me to cultivate a true, better understanding and relationship with God and embrace the Catholic faith that has just been so fulfilling since then. I went through RCIA in 2020, in the fall of 2020. So it was definitely an endurance, a not giving up, so to speak, to very dark feelings. And ever since then, like, I listened to the Wacky Wednesdays. So everything that you have, like, everything that's been out there, it's like God has just put in my path, like, you know, as far as truth goes, like, here, let me help you. Here's what you need to hear for truth to help you discern from everything else. And the show on Wednesdays really helped me do that in other ways. And it just helps me be able to talk about it more with others when I see that kind of deception coming in. And it's like, trust me, you don't want to go through it the hard way. You really don't.
Well, Megan, you know, what a beautiful phone call this is, and what joy is in my heart just hearing you speak. I feel joy for you. I'm joy-filled for all who are listening to your story today. The way in which our God leads us and guides us, and we oftentimes look at these very difficult moments in life, and we curse them, right? We complain to God. We ball our fist up and rail it at him, you know? And the fact of the matter is, you know, as St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, and I quote this very frequently, you know, God only permits evil for two reasons. One, he's going to work a greater good out of it than could have been worked had the evil not occurred. Or number two, he's preventing an even greater evil from happening. And so if we hold on to that reality, as we're going through struggles, whether they be physical, as yours were, whether they be emotional, psychological, you know, the things that come at us by way of life in a broken and fallen world, reversals, financial distresses, you know, wayward children, all of these things. If we remember that God is present in all of these things, and if we are open and attentive to him, he's going to work something out of it that could not have happened had that suffering not occurred. Also, I like what you said about the fact that, you know, if you had not experienced all of this suffering, then, you know, if that hadn't happened, nothing else would have flowed from it. But you would also not have the appreciation of what God is about in your life. And I think that we forget that very frequently, that, you know, we sometimes it's in suffering that we see God most clearly. We see him most clearly. I don't understand how that works, you know, in the supernatural, but I know that it's true because it's happened to me in my life and it's happened for you in your life. And I just think that your story today is probably a sweet, holy, healing balm, B-A-L-M, on the hearts of many people that are going through a struggle right now. And I thank you for sharing it with us. Now, how is your health?
So much better. I've been able to come off some of the very hardcore medicine they had me on that had just really awful side effects. I no longer need that. I'm no longer suffering the insomnia that I was. For the first time in October of this year, I was actually able to fall asleep on my own without being medicated since October of 2019. So a lot of things are a lot better health-wise. The neurological stuff is cleared up. Now I had to go to a holistic doctor to get that type of help because the other doctors just wanted to keep me on anxiety medicine. But it was more, it was a lot more. With better testing, it showed that there was a lot more than just anxiety. So thanks be to God for helping me find that doctor. And that was just through prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit with, you know, please guide me to the, and it all came down through a chiropractor. I just kept getting this little nudge it happened after I prayed in adoration. I got like this little thought in my head. I don't know what I can just say. I truly believe it came from the Holy Spirit, and it said, you know, change your chiropractor, go to this specific place. It was very specific.
Wow.
You know, go to this chiropractor. I did. And he had.
And here you are. And here you are. And I'm so grateful that you're feeling better. You know, God does provide, and we need to remember that always. I do want to pray for you, but I also want to pray for an anonymous caller who asked for prayers. Her husband refuses to do anything about his porn addiction, and she feels divorce is the only option. It's a very painful and confusing time. The manipulation and control flows into every other aspect of life. Please pray. And I will pray for you. And Anne, I'm going to ask you to call back tomorrow on remaining on the straight and narrow and avoiding pitfalls, because we don't have time to take that. But I do want to say this to the anonymous caller. We often think that the only solution is divorce. I don't want you to rush to a divorce. I want you to consider separation. And we're going to pray right now. And Father God, we lift this anonymous caller's husband up to you in this moment. Father, I'm asking that you would marinate him in your grace, that his will might be conformed to your will, that he might see the misery that he is causing, Lord God, and that you would give him the strength to seek the help that he needs. And I ask for perseverance, endurance, virility, strength, boldness, aggressiveness, all of those virtues of tenacity and perseverance for our caller today. We offer this to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be back with you again tomorrow, and I'm hoping to hear from all of you then. God bless you now. Bye-bye.